This evening I want to share a word with you, which I call the seed. And I think it's a relatively simple word, but it is so profound, so fundamental to you and me for living a successful Christian life. Here I have a small seed, my last one. Stand. Okay, this is a small seed. Will you agree it's quite small? Could I kill somebody with this? Think again. I can, definitely. If I had a sort of an agenda against somebody, and if I knew where they would be driving their car 20 years from now, I could plant the seed right there, have the tree grow up, and then they drive into the tree. So yes, you could kill somebody with this. Okay, but a seed is really, really small, but it has unbelievable potential. Unbelievable potential. And so that's sort of what I want to speak about. On Wednesday, we spoke of what Sonika ministered last week about the race of endurance. And we spoke about our quiet times and spending time with God. And I must say, I was just really energized again to spend time with God. I just realized again how many of us are going through life but not actually making time for God. So tonight's message should slot in there somewhere as well. Okay, Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in a day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Sure, this is a powerful scripture. Because it says you'll make your way prosperous, you will have good success. Who wants to succeed in this life? Please raise your hand. Do you want to succeed? Okay, well, right there is the answer to succeeding in life. And I agree, it is the foundation. Obviously, there are other things that one would add over time, but that is the foundation. It speaks of you and I, we need to do something with the Word of God. So the seed is the Word. The seed is in here, okay? Very important. It's in here. But there's something that you and I need to do with it. There's something you and I need to do with that word. And that scripture gives us three things we need to do, which I want to talk about. The potential power of a small seed is infinite. If you take that little seed, you can have a tree, then you can have a forest, and then you can take over the whole world. If you were thinking like Pinky and the Brain, then you would definitely go there. Taking over the world. Okay? But the potential power is infinite. Okay, so I want to ask you, what can you do with this book? Take over the world, yes. What are we going to do, Brain? Take over the world. Same thing every day, yes. But there's a few interesting things you can do with this book. It's quite thick. So if your bed was a bit wobbly, you could put it under the post there just to stabilize your bed. Okay, I think that's a good thing to do. It's quite heavy as well. So if you want to straighten out some of your papers, you can put it there or put it inside, which is also a good idea to do. If you were in prison, you could smuggle in a small saw, if you were in prison. And if you're really, really religious, and you want the whole world to know how religious you are, then you do something very special with this. You take your Bible and you put it in your house on the coffee table where everybody can see when they come visit you. See, I have a Bible. Awesome. Or maybe when the devil comes and visits you, You reach for your Bible and you rip it out and you say, "Get back, devil, I have a Bible." It's like those vampire movies with a cross, you know, like, you know. So there are quite a few things one could actually do with a Bible. But what should we be doing with a Bible? A few things that we should be doing with it. There's incredible power in this book. In large parts of the world, the people die for one page of this. They give their lives for it. Most of us, I have like 15 Bibles. How many Bibles do you have? Most of us have a few. How often do we actually read it? Now we put it there on the coffee table so people can see. Now, God didn't call us to be religious. He's called us to get into the words, because the word of God transforms us. I have found every time in my life when the wheels just want to come off or when I'm struggling, I just go back to the word. I just go back to the word. I just go back and get into the word. It strengthens me. It builds me up. And then I'm ready for life again. There's a supernatural transformation that takes place. Okay, so this book, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17 in the New Living Translation. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Okay? It shows us what is true. It reveals to us what is wrong in our lives. And this is beautiful. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way. Say God's way. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. So what have you been called to in your life? Name it. It doesn't matter what it is. The way God wants to equip you is through His word. He says there, fully equipped, every way, fully equipped for every good thing. The word of God, scripture. Is there magical power in it? No. But it points us to the one that has the power. It points us to the one that is faithful, has the strength. It connects us with God, the word. But if you don't get into the word, you won't connect with God. So you need to get into the word. It is God's way. So the scriptures, it is our food, our daily food. That's why we pray, Father, give us our daily bread. It is our strength to act. So our daily food, strength to act. It's like if you want to live out your life, say you have to go run 10 kilometers, but you haven't eaten anything for 7 days, how would you feel? Handle you gaan jy voel. Nie lekker nie. Niks voel nie. But that's most of us trying to do that. We try to live lives that glorify God. We try to live or run the race of endurance, as Sonika said last week, but we don't have strength to actually act. So the word of God isn't just about getting stuff into your mind so you know what to do. That's one thing. But there's another part. It's just get the word inside, because it gives you strength to act, whatever that may be. So I would sometimes just open the Bible somewhere and just read and read and read until I feel full again. And then I can go on. I'm not even applying anything in that specific scripture, but those scriptures filled me on the inside. It's like energizing your spirit. Okay, so strength to act, and it's also a lamp. The word is a lamp unto our feet, a light so we can see. So the word gives us light so we can see the way forward. Earlier this year, I spoke of the promises of God. And I said the promises of God does something for us. If you and I, if our lives represented a boat on the stormy seas, what does the promises of God do? If you were a boat in the stormy seas, what does the promises of God or the scripture do for you and me when we hold on to the promises of God? It keeps us afloat. It keeps us from sinking down into despair, the promises of God. So it keeps your boat afloat, and it gives you direction to know which way should you be rowing. I don't know if some of you remember the row boat thingy. But the promises of God keeps us afloat and on course. So you need to hold on to the promises. If you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, hold on to the promises. Put it on your wall. Memorize it. Declare it. I put it on my phone. So I would like read the scriptures on my phone or the promises on my phone when I'm standing in a queue somewhere at government organizations or something. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. We're going to get to the three things in a moment I want to talk about. It says there, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." This is powerful. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians, and he's telling them, guys, you know, it really excites me. What I'm so thankful for is that when we came to you and we spoke the words of God to you, you received it not as the words from mere men. You received it as if it comes from above. Now, that's powerful. You see, because there's a key in there that I'm going to talk about in a moment, but there's an attitude that God wants to give you and me when we come to receive the word. In church or when you're at home reading the scriptures for yourself. There's an attitude, a focus that is key to receiving the fullness of it. We need to honor the word of God. We need to reverence the word of God. You see, if God's word doesn't come to pass, he ceases to exist. Because his word and himself are inseparable. His word is inseparable. If God says something and he lies, he cannot lie. If it has to come to pass. That's the power of his word, but it's linked to God's very identity. It's not just some weird thing, just a word. And then Mark 6, verses 3 to 6. Again about honoring. Now, here it comes with honoring the vessel through which the word comes. Jesus goes to his hometown, and then he preaches the kingdom of God to them, and then they just don't get it. And they think, "Ha, who is this?" And they say, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." And now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. This is the Son of God, the God in the flesh who has all power, all authority, and says he could not do miracles. Why? Because the people disrespected the vessel. They didn't esteem the vessel. And it's just funny. It's like when an American preacher comes to South Africa, you know, then everybody gets excited. But it's just amazing that when somebody comes from far away, then we assume they must be more blessed than the local guy. You see, and it's not about what I've learned, it's not about the person. It's actually amazing. It's that the person could maybe even be off the wall, confused. The person could maybe be a donkey. But if you have faith that God will speak to you, he will. The donkey has spoken in the Bible. It is possible. But the attitude with which we come, and I've learned this over time, when I've started to know a man of God, say from a distance, like, "Ooh, holy, holy, holy." And you come close, you think, "Hey, not as holy as I thought." You know, he's very human, normal. And then I go through a dip in my, and I can't receive so well anymore. And then when I come through that, then I just realize it, but the word of God or the vessel, it's despite the person that God's word is coming through us. If we would just honor God and say, "God, I receive your word. Doesn't matter who brings it. I have faith that I'm going to hear from you tonight." then you will hear from God. So I just want to encourage us. Don't have time to go into details into that, but we need to honor the word, and then we just need to honor the vessel, whatever, whoever that may be, and you will be astounded that you will receive like never before. Okay, so the three things I want to share. The word of God needs to be in three places according to Joshua 1 verse 8. Number one, the word of God needs to be in your mouth. He said this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth. How do we sow seed? Through speaking it. How do we sow the word of God? Through speaking it. And we need, James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. How's your mouth? What words are you speaking in your mouth? Speaking negativity, unbelief, doubts, never going to work. What are you speaking? Are you speaking death or are you speaking life? Ideally, you want the word of God in your mouth. You want the promises of God in your mouth. James 3 also speaks of this. I mean, that previous scripture, it says that if you think you're religious, but you do not bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart. And it says this religion, this one's religion is useless. Useless. So in other words, it's saying, if you can't bridle your tongue, if you can't speak life through your mouth, go home. Then to try and do anything for God. Because it won't work. Through your own words, you will neutralize the power and the promise of God. There's life or death in the power of the tongue. James 3, verse 5 to 6. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. Ruin. Your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Sure, now that doesn't get your attention. What am I speaking, Lord? And there shouldn't be a void. You must speak positive. You must speak life. I will speak the words of God over your work situation. Speak the promises of God over your family. Over your friends, speak the word of God. Over the church, speak the word of God. Negative words will destroy. But the promises of God, I mean, the opposite is true. If it's that bad negatively, then how good can it not be positively? Proclaiming the word of God. What happens when you and I proclaim the word of God? What happens when you and I proclaim or speak the word of God? Yes, we're sowing a seed into the hearts of other people, but there's something more that happens. Jesus is the living word. So if you and I speak the word, guess who will follow up? Jesus himself will follow up. Jesus himself will manifest himself as we speak his word. It's like preparing the path for Jesus himself to step into a situation. Some of the when I was at Stellenbosch, one of the pastors prayed for me. And he said that if he sees me raising up a sword in the spirit, a sword represents the word of God. And he said that as we raise the sword, the word of God, over East London, he says, then Jesus will come and stand over this whole town and his will be done. You see, so often we want to do the things of the Spirit, but the word is the key for the things of the Spirit. The word is the foundation. If we lift up the sword, if we proclaim the words of God, then Jesus will step into the situation and turn things around. The word become flesh. What is one of the first signs of you being sick? And I'm not talking about anything that I've been experiencing the last few days. What is one of the symptoms? How do you know if somebody comes to you, you know they're sick? Maybe a cough, yes. Temperature. is that their teeth looks funny, says the dentist. I can see you sick. I look at their teeth. Emotionally, you feel a little bit down. Yes. It's all right, but I'm looking for one specific answer. And the answer is you're not hungry. You don't want to eat when you're really sick. Huh? you're the exception. But in general, if you're really sick, you don't want to eat. You're not hungry. Okay, so what is one of the first symptoms of a Christian being sick? They're not hungry for the word. They're not hungry for the word. You see, the Christian that finds himself in adultery, that wasn't that's the end result. But the sickness was already over here. Wasn't spending time in the word. Wasn't reading the word. Wasn't meditating upon the word. So it's easy for me to see, I'm not well. I don't want to read the word. I'm not well. Lord, forgive me. I need to want the word. Okay? So your hunger, really important. There are two types of people in every meeting. Two types of people. One type of person, they sit. Two people, they both sit. They hear the same message. The one leaves changed. The other one leaves. That wasn't so great. I'm like, yeah, it was amazing. What's the difference? The one was open, hungry, full of faith. The other one closed, distracted, cynical, not honoring the word, not honoring the vessel, not having faith to say, God, this day, I want to be changed. Two types of people. Okay, so that's the first one. You need the word in your mouth. And you need to have a hunger for the word. Second one, you need the word in your heart. Joshua 1 verse 8 spoke of you need to meditate day and night upon the words written in this book. Okay, what does meditate mean? It is to reflect, to mutter, to ponder, to meditate, to contemplate something as one repeats the words, to quietly repeat them in a soft droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. There's actually a Jewish practice that they call davening, where they would softly repeat the words over and over, and they'd be like rocking forward and back, as they would be meditating upon a word. Scriptural meditation is always on God and Scripture. Eastern meditation is when you empty your mind and you open yourself to all sorts of funny things. Okay, so we need to meditate day and night. So what are you meditating on? What are you thinking of? Some of us are still thinking about the rugby last night, and we're thankful we won. Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. You need to pray that. I'm praying that again for myself. God, open my eyes. You see, when God speaks to you, when you're reading Scripture, it is truly the never-ending story. It is truly the most, I mean, it's World Cup final, South Africa against the All Blacks, and we kick them 50-0. It's better when you are in the Scriptures and God starts to speak to you and illuminate to you things that you've never seen before. It is awesome. Ladies, it's like winning that amazing lotto and you can shop until you drop or something like that. I don't know what does it for you. Okay. But get something, it's better. I promise you it's better. Okay, but the prerequisite for this scripture or for the seed to hit its mark in our lives is the soil of our hearts. So I want to look at this very quickly. In Mark 4 and verse 3 to 16, I'm not going to read it now, but it speaks of the parable of the sower. And the sower went out and he sowed seed and it fell on four different types of soil. And I just want to touch on each one of them. But the type of soil will affect the power of the word in our lives. The attitude of our hearts will determine how effective the word is. Okay, so the first one is the hard soil. The seed fell on the hard soil and immediately it was stolen. The hard heart. The hard heart. Do you know what that is like? A hard heart is like somebody coming to a church service. They're sitting through the whole thing, and it was as if they never came. It wouldn't have made a difference, actually, because it's like a block. It's like a wall around their hearts. And we need to sometimes just acknowledge that. Say, God, my heart, it's not right. I'm not receiving. It's not changing me. James 1:21, receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word. The implanted word which is able to save your souls. You see, so that's where the seed needs to be implanted into the soil of your heart. And we need to become like little children. Not cynical. We need to be like little children and say, God, I'm receiving your word. Let it change me. Let it turn me around. But when we become like teenagers, we like, your parents can tell you nothing. The implanted word. And so, especially just want to touch on this very shortly, the offended heart. An offended heart is somebody that's been disappointed, somebody that has been hurt, somebody that has been like disappointed by church or a person. I think it was John Bevere. He said, the soil of an offended heart is barren. The soil of an offended heart is barren. It is poisoned with bitterness. So if you are offended, disappointed with God, or disappointed in man, or disappointed in your spouse, or disappointed in somebody, and you carry this with you, then your heart will be barren. The soil of your heart will be barren. It's like the walls around your heart. And we need to deal with those things. I'm going to give an opportunity at the end. We're just going to pray with you for that. Okay, that's hard soil. Second one, rocky soil. They receive with joy the seed, but there was no root. Okay, what is the root? If you're like putting a seed into somebody's heart, the word, what would be the root? Amongst the stony ground, there was no root, so they fell back. They fell away when things sorted out. Any ideas? What is the root? Root? Huh? Anchor. Yes, it is an anchor. I agree. But I'm looking for the specific what anchors. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. I believe it's the power of revelation. Revelation knowledge. It's one thing to read scripture. It's one thing to go through it. I've read a whole chapter and I can think interesting things about it with my mind. But it's another thing when you receive revelation knowledge about something. Good example. Jesus spoke to his disciples and he asked them, okay, guys, you've heard lots of things about me, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And he said, well, these guys are saying this, those guys are saying that. Everybody is like sowing different seeds. But he wanted to know, well, who do you say? And then Peter got up and said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And that made it when the difficult times came, when he actually denied Christ, he could come back because he had a revelation. Later stage in John 6:67, when Jesus said some hard things to the people about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and everybody was leaving. Then he looked at his disciple and said, and you? Are you two going to leave? Yes, it's getting hard. Yes, we're getting persecuted. Are you also going to leave? And then Peter said, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? God, I've received a revelation that is so much deeper than anything else. I have been rooted and I'm going nowhere. I'm standing. You need revelation. It's one thing to believe something because I say it. It's another thing to believe it because God has personally revealed it to you. Hell or high water can come. Nothing will shake you because you have received revelation. You need it. You need to be rooted. And for that, you need to get into the word so that you can be rooted. Okay, that's the rocky soil. But I believe the man who has one revelation from the word of God is better off than he has memorized every scripture in the Bible. Although I presume that if you memorize every scripture in the Bible, you're going to get lots and lots of revelations, real root stuff. Third one, thorny soil, the weeds coming and crowding up the word. This is when the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in to choke the word. The cares of this world, you can put it up there, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in to choke the word. So you can have the revelation. You can have had an experience with God, but now through the investment of your time, you are exposing yourself to other seed, to other things. And it's actually thorns. It's not good, pure seed. You're exposing yourself all the time with all these other things, music, magazines, TV, movies, whatever it may be, filling your time with these things. You'll find yourself in a place where you don't want to read the word anymore. And it sort of pushes out the revelation out of your life. It oppresses it. And it says there won't be fruit. So don't allow the seeds of the world to grow in your heart. Sometimes it's not good to read the newspaper. Don't know about you, but sometimes it didn't bless. Every day doesn't bless me. I'd read it once a week. Good soil is the fourth one. That's where you want to be. Where you hear the word, you accept it, and it brings transformation through your life. Okay, so what is soil made for? From an awesome global God sovereign position, soil is made for seed. What is your heart made for? Your heart is made for seed. The question is, what seed is it receiving? Is your heart receiving the right soil, the right seed? Okay, Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, lest I run in vain. That's what the Apostle Paul speaks of. And then just this one thing, transformation. Romans 12, verse 2, it speaks of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's also a process. We can maybe look at that in the future sometime. Okay, last one, very shortly, ending off here. So the first one is, what are the three things you need to do with the Word of God? Number one, you need to have it in your mouth. Number two, you need to have it in your heart. Okay, number three, you need to get it into your flesh, into your physical doing. In our flesh, in Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will have good success. Then you will prosper in your way. Psalm 119:11. It says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is a beautiful scripture. Struggling with sin? I guarantee you the word. You have not hidden the word in your heart. I've experienced in my own life, the moment I become more vulnerable to temptations is when I have not been being in the Word, having the Word of God in my heart. Your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let it sink in. This is really powerful. We need to be doers of the Word. James 1:22, but be doers of the Word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What is the problem with deception? The problem with deception that it is really deceiving. And you don't click it. You don't know it. You don't realize it because it deceives you. But we need to be doers. We need to receive the word and then we need to do it. Okay, we need to get the word in our flesh, in our actions, in our hands. Deuteronomy 28. Before I read that, I just want to also share this with you. The word of God produces the will of God in us. Let me say that again. The word of God produces the will of God in us. The more you hold onto the Word of God, the more the Word will get a hold of you to do the will of God. The more you hold onto the Word, the more the Word will get a hold onto you to do the will of God. The Word is the key. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 2. Now this speaks about the blessings. Go read it for yourself. It is amazing, all the blessings that God says, but you need to look at the first bit. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There's this awesome blessing that when you obey, when you step out, you hear the voice of God, you read it in Scripture, and you do it. It's like the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. It's like driving in your car at 120 kilometers per hour, and the blessings of God come at the pace of 200, and He chases you down. It's on the hunt. There's somebody obeying God here. And so God is on the hunt. He's going to come. He's going to bless you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Who's the me? The me is the obedient. The me is those who read the word, study the word, meditate the word, and then do it. Not a thousand stuff. Just the next thing that God shows you to do. And you just humbly step out and do it. The blessings will overtake you. And the contrary is also true, that when we continuously disobey God, it's not good for us. That's why we need to get the word in our hearts that we may obey. James 1:23, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed. Be blessed. And then just the last scripture. John 1 verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what we want. We want Jesus Christ to come and dwell amongst us. But for that, we need to speak the word. We need to live the word. We need to meditate upon the word. And so then God will come through and come and dwell in our midst. As we proclaim his word, then he can be there. It's like Reinhard Bonnke says, if you do not proclaim Jesus to be something, he cannot be it. In other words, if you do not proclaim Jesus to be your provider, he cannot provide for you. If you do not proclaim that Jesus is a healer, he cannot heal you. If you do not proclaim that Jesus is a savior, he cannot save. If you do not proclaim that Jesus delivers from fear and insecurities and whatever else, he cannot do it. It is as we proclaim it and declare it, that is when we open the door for Jesus to come and be God in our midst. Are you proclaiming the scriptures? Are you proclaiming the word of God? Are you proclaiming the promises of God? Or is there just a void in your mouth? Or maybe even worse, maybe there's just negativity and unbelief. So I don't know what challenge you face, but it's time to speak life over that situation. It's time to say over it, my God is greater than this. Jesus has overcome this on the cross. My God will come through for me. It's like with me, I received certain words, what they call prophecies, about 10 years ago. I'm only now experiencing God doing this inside of me. I'm talking about stuff inside. I'm not talking about external stuff. I'm just freedom. Freedom from things. I remember... You see, life, I'm sure all of us can tell our stories, but every now and again, life hits you. And there's been a few things that has happened in my life while I was in the ministry, serving God faithfully. And, you know, I got hurt in a certain sense. My heart got wounded. And I remember when my wife and I, when we drove back, we were on holiday, we're driving back from Knysna to Cape Town. And as I was driving, when my wife and I, when we drive somewhere, we usually pray. We use that time to pray. And when you're driving like from Knysna to Cape Town, that's a good time to pray. And as I was praying, I just felt the Holy Spirit just coming upon me in such a way that I was really emotional. I could hardly see in front of me. So I slowed down. But the Lord spoke to me. That was really God. I know that was God. But he said to me, I'm going to change you. I'm going to set you free. Stuff you're struggling with, the fears and the things haunting you in a sense, I'm going to set you free. And you won't recognize yourself after I'm finished with you. And I've really been experiencing that. As I've been stepping out in obedience, as God has led us to come to East London, I mean, that was a massive step for us. I mean, that was just a step of faith in God. Okay, fine, we don't have a clue what's going on, but we're just going to follow you. But the moment you step out, the moment you obey God, the moment you say, God, I didn't feel like I can do this, but you just step out trusting Him, it releases the grace of God to your heart. And God sets you free. Because you're positioned in a place. If the rain was the blessings of God, if you're under the roof, you're not going to receive the blessings. You need to get out into the rain. You need to get into the place of obedience. You need to get into that place where God can bless you. So I want to encourage us. God wants to set all of us free and give us victory. But we need to position ourselves accordingly. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are awesome. You are powerful. You are the creator of heaven and earth, Lord. And so often we don't experience you like that because our positioning is wrong. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord. I pray, God, that we will start to apply these principles. Lord, that you give us the grace to apply them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that the Word of God will be in our mouths. God, that the Word of God will be in our hearts and our minds as we meditate upon a day and night. And Lord, that the Word of God will be in our steps, in our hands, in our feet, in our lives. God, as we step out in obedience to your Word. Every step, a step of obedience. Every step, a step of obedience. Every step, a step of faith. Holy God, we honor you. We thank you for the power that is in a little seed. We thank you, Lord God, that one word from you can change us forever. Lord, I just pray that right now that you'll just come and reveal to each one of us where we are at. Show us, God, where we are missing you. Because you love us so much, you'll show us. Show us, Lord God, where we are wasting our time with nonsense. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord God, where we are walking a road that is not the will of God or doing stuff that is not your will. Lord God Almighty, we want the seed of God in our lives. We want the seed to take root in our hearts and to germinate, to become strong trees of righteousness to the glory of God. Father, we bless your name. So I just want to ask if there's anybody here, if you realize now that you, in your mouth, you're not speaking life. And you know that you need to start speaking life. You need to start speaking the Word of God. Just stand where you are sitting now. Just stand as a sign to the Lord saying, God, I acknowledge I need to start speaking life. I need to start speaking the promises of God. I need to start proclaiming the Word of God. Lord, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. Maybe there are some of us here, you're not hungry for the Word. You are not hungry for Scripture. If that is you, also just stand. each time we stand, each time we do this, it's a step of faith. Saying, God, I acknowledge and I know that you love me. I know you're not exposing me. I know you want to turn things around in my heart and in my life. God, we bless you for this in Jesus' name. If there's anybody also here that feel that you don't meditate on the word, I guess most of you probably stand already, but if you're not meditating upon the word day and night, if you're not really getting into scripture and you feel convicted about that, you're welcome to stand as well. And then I want to ask, if there's anybody here that you feel you've disobeyed God, you've disobeyed God, you have stepped out of His will in some area, and you just know that you need to make right with Him tonight. If that is you, also just stand. Father, we praise your name. I just feel in my heart that there is somebody here that you're disobeying God in some area. You're outside of the will of God in some area. And the Lord has spoken to you about this a few times, but you weren't sure if it's God or not. Just ask the Lord to help you and then get into that place of obedience. Go back to where you started to miss the Lord and get to that place of obedience. Father, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. We worship you, God. I'm just going to pray a prayer. Just repeat after me. This is a prayer of consecration for all of us. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I honor your word as the tool through which you want to transform my life. Lord, I acknowledge that I've not been spending time in your word as you would have wanted me to. Lord, give me a hunger for your word. Lord, help me to honor your word. God, I open my heart wide to your seed, to your word. Lord, plant it in good soil. Lord God, may your word bear fruit in my life. Help me, Lord, to have the word in my mouth, in my heart, and in my life, in Jesus' name. Lord, give me the grace to follow you with all my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I just pray for each one of us here. Lord, I pray that you'll stir this hunger inside of us more than ever before. A hunger for your word and understanding of the greatness of your word. And Lord, I pray that we would make time for your word in our daily lives. Lord, in the mornings, over lunch times, in the evenings, Lord, lead us forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's interesting. This I was actually very blessed by. Thank you, Andre. And this morning when I was praying, the Lord showed me something about seed that I just want to add to this because it's so beautiful. A seed doesn't look like the host at all. If you imagine an oak tree, an acorn doesn't look like an oak tree. And if you plant the seed into the ground, an oak tree will grow. But when that seed first germinates, what it looks like is nothing like an oak tree. Its leaves look different. Its roots look different. Even the little fragile stem looks different. But as we nurture that little plant that has germinated, it starts to take on the form of the host. And even then, it won't look exactly the same as the oak tree from which it came. It's not a clone. It has the general characteristics of an oak tree, but it's a unique oak tree. And it's the same with the seeds that the Lord plants into us. We won't look exactly the same as Jesus, and we're not supposed to. We'll be Christ-like, and that's the key.
Amen. If there's anybody, if you need prayer, I'd like to pray with somebody. Such a waste not to pray with somebody.